Welcome to the Local Spotlight Show here at WJBM Studios in Jerseyville, Illinois, the voice of the Tri-Counties. I am Chris Lorton. I am your host again today. And with me, he hasn't been in studio for a while, but the man about town, the man that knows what's going on, I have with me Ben Yetton. Welcome, Ben.
Hey, Chris. Thanks for having me on.
And I say man about town because I always see you walking up and down streets.
Man, I can't drive a block to work.
I wouldn't either.
No, it's downtown, what they've done, what the city's done to downtown, what the business owners have done to downtown. I love walking around. I love to see people driving around, going in and out of businesses. Makes me very proud to be here.
Yeah. Now, when'd you come to town?
I came to town in the summer of 2005. I would have moved here. So, my God, I've been here 20 years. And in August, I'll have been the elected state's attorney for 18 years.
So you came here to work as an attorney under your dad?
I did. My father has always had an office in Jerseyville. Of course, you know, everybody knows the Gettons are originally from here. My father originally went to Greene County to run for state's attorney because a position opened up. So that's where I was raised. But I was born here in Jerseyville. And of course, my entire family's here. So got out of law school, came back into the fold here in Jerseyville, moved into the apartment above my dad's office, and started helping him with his private practice. And then Mike McDonald, who was the sitting state's attorney at the time, decided to retire. And I was appointed to the position in August of 2007.
You were appointed?
I was appointed originally. And then I ran for
the
office.
Why were you appointed? What happened?
Well, there was a vacancy. Mike stepped down. He retired.
Oh, okay.
And then so the county board appointed me state's attorney. And then I had to run the next year in 2008.
Since 2008. Okay.
Yep.
Let's talk a little politics. Okay. In that you grew up in politics, right?
I did.
And you seem to be pretty successful. Has anybody ever ran against you?
Yeah, I had an opponent my first attempt at state's attorney. And
How about after that though?
No, I've had four unopposed. So you must be
doing a good job.
I'd like to think so.
I think you do. I think you do a great job.
I appreciate it, Chris. I really do.
I mean, you just try to appease everybody as much as possible and take care of the bad guys.
Yeah, don't sweat the small stuff and take care of the big ones. That's my motto. Everybody makes a mistake. I believe everybody deserves a second chance. And if you take that philosophy as a prosecutor, it's served me well over the years.
What was your philosophy, though, growing up? I mean, you grew up in politics. I mean, a lot of the Gettin family was doing something, whether it be small. And your dad is a state's attorney. What did you learn as a child? Or did you always think you were going to be in politics?
I didn't have any interest in politics, per se. My father was the state's attorney in Greene County. So, as you can imagine, I'm the youngest of four boys. So, we knocked on every door in that county. We nailed in signs in every yard we could. So dad had us out constantly, and he was always campaigning. My father is a very social guy, still is to this day, at 84, 85 now, I think. So, we were raised in it. I mean, not knowing necessarily the philosophies of one party or the other, but just getting out in your community, talking to people. That's how I was raised. And I saw my father's interaction with everyone. And you just treat everybody the same, equal. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what political persuasion. And that's what I've tried to carry it into my political career.
Mm-hmm. Were you a Democrat? Now you're an independent. Okay. Was that a tough choice to do that? Explain how that went down for you.
Yeah, we discussed this a little the last time I was on the show. The Safety Act was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. So as a prosecutor, being a member of that negotiating team to try to bring the Safety Act in that made it more palatable for prosecutors, judges, and just the public in general, this was legislation just shoved down our throat from Cook County and Northern Illinois. Mm-hmm. It had nothing to do with us down here. We can handle our stuff. So I saw major problems in it. I was against it from the beginning. We were in the midst of negotiating a more reasonable bill. And then, as I said, at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, they passed the bill. And I think the next morning, the Democratic governor signed it. So that was the sort of the that was it for me as far as being in this job and mm-hmm. being a party member. I just don't see any reason for it. Mm-hmm. I don't. Now,
how has it hampered your job?
It hasn't hampered my job. The Safety Act has hampered.
That's
what I mean. The biggest thing for us is that we no longer accept bonds. So any other time prior to the Safety Act, you'd be arrested on any offense, misdemeanor or felony. In order to get out of jail, you'd have to post an amount of bond, which helps pay for the costs and fines and fees. And if there's restitution, if there's a victim that was injured. So that leaves a big hole. Plus, it's just now we can still detain individuals, but it's just for the most serious crimes. And we have to prove all these elements as to why they should remain in custody. And it really puts us in a bad position. So if we have 5 or 6 people in jail right now, I'd be surprised. I didn't look at the jail list this morning. Prior to the Safety Act, we'd be at 40, 45. So if that shows you the impact of this bill and this act.
Now you've been here since, you've been here for 20 years.
20 years.
Yeah. And I've been here for 39 years.
Yeah, man. Let's switch the mic here. Tell me about Jerseyville 39 years ago, man. I worked for you at Chris's Cafe for a period of time in the summer when I was in high school.
Yeah.
But I waited tables for
all
you.
All the brothers did.
That's exactly. Yeah. So tell me about Jerseyville 39 years ago, man.
I decided my brother Jeff, you know him, right?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. We decided we should go in the nightclub business, right? Because that's where the real money was, you know, nightclub. And it was pretty hot back then.
It was, man. I mean, it was.
We're talking the 80s, early 80s. Yeah. So anyway, we did some research and we decided, well, we got to go to, let's go to Jerseyville, you know. So I go to Jerseyville. He and I do. And hey, if you're just joining us, I have Ben Getten with the state's attorney here at Jersey County for how many years?
18 years.
18 years, you're right.
And we've turned the tables now, so I'm interviewing Chris, and he's telling me about his life.
Well, you're telling how I got to Jerseyville. So it's a funny story. We come to town, and we have Herman Blackerby as the mayor. I don't know if you remember Herman.
I don't remember, no.
Okay, he was an older gentleman.
Former chief, right?
Yeah,
was he chief of police?
Chief. Yeah. His great grandson works for us here at the studio, Cruz.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. I mean, I love the Blackerbys. Didn't know him at the time. I go to Herman. We'd like to have a liquor license because we'd like to open up a nightclub here in Jerseyville. And he just kind of laughed a little bit. He says, boys, if you want a liquor license, I would suggest you buy one of the local establishments in here because they're here in town because they're all for sale.
That makes you feel good walking in as a business owner, doesn't it? Which one of these failing businesses am I going to buy to put another business?
So we shopped around. We ended up buying one. Then later on, the hotel came up for sale. And I was actually at the Varsity Club, which is now on the 109. It's Tracy's now, right? And I got the paper out and I'm turning the pages. I'm looking at what's going on. And I see Colonial Inn Hotel for sale, $120,000. And I thought, how about this? And Brenda goes, that place is a I'm like, I go, okay. So, and this is kind of interesting. I'll share this. I had just got done reading The Art of the Deal.
Nice.
By Trump.
Yeah.
Just got done reading it. So I go, I'm like, I'll try it out. So I ended up getting with a realtor, Andy Anderson. You probably don't know him.
No.
These are old guys. And he ends up, I ended up buying the place and using, you know, Trump's strategy. He gave up the first mortgage. Okay. And gave it to me. He took the second. Then I mortgaged the place at the bank and I got around 80 or 90 grand. I put the place up. And then I used that money I didn't have any money.
Yeah.
You know, I used that money to renovate the place and get it ready for my nightclub, hotel, restaurant, bar. And for 3 years, for the first 6 months, I pay no interest, no payments. At the end of 6 months, then I would pay 3% for 3 years. At the end of 3 years, I buy him out and he's out of the picture. So
beautiful.
Yeah. And he was happy to do it. That's how bad he wanted to get rid of that hotel.
Yeah. Well, man, you did a great job. I can remember working for you and Brenda, and what a beautiful place it was. And you had it all there, man. I remember you had a great bar area. And then, of course, you transitioned the one side to kind of the nightclub after-hours spot, and then you had the beautiful restaurant. That was the one thing I wish you could have saved from that place would have been that your neon. Dude, that was
that. Yeah.
You had a big neon on the top, right?
That's another story.
Okay. We can extend this, man. I'll listen to this all day.
I wasn't exactly on the inside track either. You know, I love the city of Jerseyville and I love all the people in it and all the people that run it. But I was, you know, push the envelope, right? On issues. And that would, you know, now we're all friends today, but back then we were friends, but they said, Lorton, gosh dang it, what are you doing? So I went and I got a sign permit, $25 sign permit. And then I took that permit and then I had Chris Starr build me this big neon sign. The thing was, I think, 20 foot wide and 12 foot tall. And we put it on top of the building and it said Lorton Hotel.
Yeah.
All in neon. And you could see it from the four-way stop.
Classic.
Yeah. And anyway.
How'd you get around?
They changed the rule. There was no variance. There was no nothing, right?
There wasn't anything.
But they ended up changing the rules after that, saying you can't put neon signs on top of buildings.
But yours stayed, right? That one stayed.
Yeah, it stayed. It stayed. There was no moving off. But anyway, it was a good experience. It was a good time at the hotel. And all the boys, Johnny kind of, was he working anyplace else? He bartended before.
So Johnny had opened up with brother Matt. They had opened the Oasis up in Carrollton. So they were working for you. No, they were just home in the summers, probably from college. Johnny had dropped out of college.
Johnny became my main guy.
Yeah, so he had dropped out of college and he was working for you full time.
Yeah.
That's where that happened.
Yeah, he was.
Yep,
he was my main right hand man.
Yep,
for the longest time.
I remember.
Then Matt worked in the summer. He came in and then you.
Yep.
You helped.
And then they bought the Oasis, and then you leased your place to them for a period of time, and then
they bought the Oasis, and Johnny did a heck of a remodeling job. You know, he had that for a while, and then he turned it into a sports bar.
Yep.
That was amazing.
Yep.
I mean, that was simply an amazing place.
Well, I want to support my brother, and Johnny, you know, we have got four brothers, bar and grill in the bowling alley out there. And
if anybody
drives by, they see Johnny's putting an outdoor structure on it.
Yeah, what's going on there?
Yeah, he's going to just do pretty simple. He's got, I don't know, 6 or 9 garage doors that'll be open. It'll be an open air space, and he's going to put big flat screen TVs and out there. He said it'll be ready by football. So hopefully everybody, when that gets done, go out, get a nice patio experience, and it's a good spot.
Johnny does a good job there.
He's a good cook, man. I wish he'd just stay in the kitchen. That's where he's best, but... Yeah, he's Johnny.
Johnny is hilarious.
Yeah.
He is hilarious. Mr. Personality.
It's exactly. You talk about the man about town.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
Johnny for sure. But anyway, yeah, it all comes back to the, you know, this community though, too, Chris. It supports you if you're willing to work and be good to the people. I think you can
be
successful.
That? Here in town, there was a time in town. A few years later, I drove downtown and there was 14 empty spaces.
Yeah.
Okay. Some with plywood over the windows. And of course that's changed now, you know, the TIF was a big help. That's been going on for like 20 years, I think.
TIF was big. And then do you remember the city got this huge grant that would allow for the grant would pay for 50% of improvements if you were within the historic district. I don't know if you took advantage of any of that. That's been is pre-COVID. That's how life is now, right? Pre or post-COVID.
Mm-hmm.
But I was able to put awnings on my building, paint it.
Isn't that part of the TIF?
I don't know if it's part of TIF,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Is that part of the TIF?
Yeah, that's part of the TIF.
Oh, okay. Anyway, I took advantage of that. I know a lot of friends of mine that had buildings. Steve Medford, right, good buddy of mine, who's, you know, he has a lot of properties. He made some beautiful improvements to his. I know he had purchased some buildings and made them nice. That's what it takes. You know, it takes a little investment in the downtown. Of course, the city did the same thing with the parking lot. You know, the old Moose Lodge was torn down. They made that a lot. And I just think we're moving in the right direction.
I mean, now when you go through a lot of rural towns, okay, across the state, across the country, you know, ours, you go through our town, you're looking left and right as you go through town. We got, you know, coming down State Street, I mean, all the nice houses to left and right. And then you come through and it's the same thing with the businesses all the way. And you get on the outside of the businesses, you have newer franchise type businesses. And then, so eventually though, we're going to have the bypass. What do you think about that? We've got a few minutes here left.
Yeah. That's going to happen for one. I know our state and federal, lawmakers are working on it. You know, I think CD is a big part of that, even though it's mostly federal money. But that once that road comes through, I think that's when we start to see a lot more prosperity. And then, of course, more people. I think that brings the railroad will come here. They're wanting to put that major facility.
That's still in the works?
That's still in the works. And it's all contingent on this road, this bypass coming through.
Okay.
That's my understanding, Chris. I'm not involved in this as far as the, you know, the.
What do you think will happen to downtown? There's a lot of traffic downtown for sure.
There's a lot of traffic downtown. There's too much traffic. You know, you see, you know, Dot Foods runs trucks, 18 wheelers through town all day, and that'll give them a little room to go around. I mean, ultimately, I'd like to see a downtown area where we might be able to shut down a street or two and just have like a, you know, a walkway where people are just going to businesses and so forth. So it's going to take a lot of the pass through traffic out of town, which can be good and bad. But at the end of the day, what that facility is going to bring as far as just money and jobs to our community, it's going to, you know, we're going to be in a better position.
Money and jobs. When I was in high school and graduating, guys had the choice. They could go to college or they could go to work, and they could go to work and make some decent money, you know, right off the bat. And getting to a point where young guys can go to work, make money, buy a house, raise some kids, you know, that's where we need to be.
For sure. And we're also, the bypass is just going to make it that much faster to get to the city where jobs are, obviously. But
we'll have a lot of people wanting to move in, won't we?
We will. You know, people want to get out of the city, man. They're sick of it. And Jersey County is so beautiful in so many ways, whether they live in town or buy some property. I have a motorcycle, and sometimes I'll just, you know, after work, I'll hop on it and just take off, not have a plan, and just drive around the county. And it seems like I find a new place every time I turn down a road that I've never been on. I'm just in awe of the topography of it. And then some of the homes that I see out there, they're huge, huge homes. So people are investing in us now, but it's going to happen at a greater scale, I think, when the highway comes through.
Yes. Well, I think we've come close to the end of our interview.
All right.
Our time's come close to the end. Any last words of wisdom? You are a politician, and you're always got to keep running. So any words for the people?
My goodness,
for your
man.
People.
Well, my people are Jersey County. It really is, and I truly.
It's kind of nice. You're an independent, you got everybody.
So it's nice, right? You know, I've definitely probably upset some of my Democratic friends, which is understandable. And there's probably Republicans that would never accept me because I was a Democrat. But for the most part, I've gotten great feedback from
it. Oh, I think you're accepted, for sure.
Well, I hope so.
You are. I mean, nobody wants to run against you.
Well, I hope that's the case. I'd like to be here for quite some time. But what I would like to tell people, I think, is just if they ever have any questions about, you know, what happens certainly in my office or from a law enforcement standpoint, you know, the sheriff, Nick Manns, and I, we're good buddies. We talk about these issues every day. And if they ever have any questions, don't hesitate. Come up to the office. Doors always open, or just give us a call, and we'll be happy to discuss any of these issues with them.
It's good to know. And thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Chris.
Have a great day.
All right, brother.